Hi, everybody. This is Ryan George from The Thing You're Currently Watching. Please enjoy this pitch meeting for Game of Thrones Season 8 that I made several years ago. And then once that's done, you can stick around after, because who knows what's going to happen. I'm just going to talk. It's not that special. While you're watching that, I'm going to draw a White Walker.
So, you have Game of Thrones Season 8 for me?
Yes, sir, I do. And I really want this to be over, so can we speed this pitch meeting up, please?
Oh, I mean, we literally just started.
Well, I'm in a rush, so, you know, let's get cracking.
I mean, okay.
So anyway, the first two episodes are gonna be people kind of meeting and reuniting in Winterfell. You know, Arya's gonna sleep with Gendry.
Oh, having seen her grow up on the show, that makes me extremely uncomfortable. Is she 18? That's certainly what people are gonna Google, but yes, she is.
Yikes, okay. And then episode 3 is gonna be when the Night King and his army are gonna arrive in Winterfell.
Oh my god, the moment we've been building towards for 8 seasons.
Yeah, and so Bran reveals that the Night King wants him, because he's kind of like the memory of Westeros.
Oh, why?
Because that's his motivation.
Well, okay then.
So then the Dothraki charge at the dead army, and they pretty much all get wiped out.
Oh my god.
Until a couple of episodes later when they kind of just multiply because they need more of them.
Oh.
Anyway, then the zombies are gonna charge at the good guys, and there's just like a wall of them.
Oh wow, it sounds like World War Z.
Exactly, yeah, it's gonna be like watching World War Z, but with, you know, like 5 pairs of sunglasses on.
What?
So there are just tens of thousands of zombies, and they're just swarming everybody.
Wow, it's gonna be tough for the main characters to live through an attack like that.
Actually, it's gonna be super easy. Barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, see, anytime a really important character gets swarmed, we're just gonna kinda cut away from them and then come back later to see that they're fine.
Wait, so how do they survive?
By being off screen for a little bit.
I guess that makes sense.
Oh, also, Bran is gonna warg into a crow.
Oh, why does he do that?
Unclear.
Okay, gotcha.
Anyway, eventually the Night King is gonna do that thing where he raises his arms and all the dead come back to life.
Oh boy.
Yeah, and Tyrion and a bunch of people are down in the crypts, so, you know, it gets scary.
So they're fighting a guy that can raise the dead and they go hide in the crypts? I thought Tyrion was the smart one.
He used to be, but now I need things to happen really fast, so that's all over.
Oh, okay.
And so then Jon screams at a dragon for some reason.
That's cool, I guess.
Maybe. And then Arya sneaks up on the Night King and stabs him, and, you know, that's the end of winter.
Oh, it's over?
Yep, all done, so moving on.
Wait, that's just it?
Yeah, that's it. So anyway.
But we've been building towards this for 8 seasons. It's just done with a quick stab?
It is, yeah.
So what was with the Night King's connection to Bran, or that weird symbol that kept popping up, or the fact that the White Walkers...
Listen, sir, I'm gonna need you to get all the way off my back about winter, okay? It's over. We gotta move on.
Oh, I just feel a little empty inside. It feels like this could have been fleshed out.
Well, there's no time. There's only a couple of episodes left.
You can have more episodes if you want.
I just don't see any other way other than rushing it.
You could do it in more episodes.
Damn this short final season. Oh.
Okay.
Anyway, so after the Battle of Winterfell, everybody's partying, but Dany is just sitting alone, all isolated, looking pissed where there's Starbucks.
Did you say Starbucks?
And in the next episode, she flies to King's Landing.
But then Euron and the Iron Fleet snipe Rhaegal out of the sky with those scorpion things.
What? How did Dany not know about the Iron Fleet being there? Well, Dany kind of forgot about the Iron Fleet and Euron's forces, but they certainly haven't forgotten her.
She forgot?
She forgot, you know, a lot of stuff on her mind.
I mean, okay, and does she blow up the ships with her dragon?
Oh, no, I mean, a dragon is no match for a bunch of scorpions.
Oh, okay, yikes.
And then Cersei ends up killing Missandei, you know, so Dany and Grey Worm are pissed.
And does Dany remember who Cersei is?
Of course she does.
I don't know, I feel like I needed to ask.
So then in the next episode, Dany just destroys all the scorpions in like a minute with her dragon.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, a bunch of scorpions are no match for a dragon.
Oh, but you just said the opposite.
Oh, well, I kind of forgot about that.
Well, okay then, I guess.
So yeah, now Cersei doesn't have any scorpions, but she does have the Golden Company.
Oh yeah, we built those guys up to be badasses, so what are they gonna do?
Die immediately.
Oh my god.
And then Cersei and everybody surrender, but Dany is mad now, so she's not satisfied.
Oh, so she goes to kill Cersei?
Exactly, but she starts with, you know, everyone else.
She does what?
Yeah, she's mad now, so she burns women and children.
Ew, that feels like quite the leap character-wise.
Well, she's been killing people for years, you know, plus 2 of her dragons died, a couple of her friends, her nephew doesn't want to sleep with her.
Yeah, but these are women and children.
Listen, I want her to be the bad guy, and I don't really have time to flesh out the justification.
Would you like some time? You can have it.
No.
Ah, dang it, okay.
Anyway, so Grey Worm and the Unsullied start killing a bunch of people, and so do the Dothraki.
Who are now not dead.
That's right, and Jaime's running around too, because after the Battle of Winterfell, he took off to see Cersei.
Oh, was he going to kill her? Because that's a great way to wrap up his redemption arc.
Oh no, he's going to be with her.
Oh, he is?
Yeah, he sleeps with Brienne, then leaves her crying, and takes off to go be with his sister again.
Oh, it kind of seemed like we had a whole redemption thing going for like 8 seasons.
Oh yeah, we're gonna undo all that in like 3 scenes. He's even gonna be like, I never cared about innocent people.
Oh my god.
And then he and Cersei both get taken out by falling bricks.
I mean, Okay.
And at the end of the episode, Arya sees a white horse and rides off on it.
Oh, cool. People are gonna have a lot of theories about that.
Yeah, and so at the beginning of the next episode, she's walking around in the rubble and she sees...
Wait, what happened to the horse?
Oh, we'll see what happened with that was that...
Did you forget about the horse?
I forgot about the horse. She forgot about the horse. It's a very forgettable horse.
Okay.
So anyway, then Tyrion's like, I'm pretty sure I don't want to be the Hand of the Queen anymore.
Because of the child murders?
Because of the child murders, that's right. So he gets put in a cell.
Yeah, I guess that's treason.
Exactly. So now all the pressure's on Jon Snow, you know, what's he gonna do?
Oh yeah, what has Jon Snow been up to this whole time?
Oh, well, I had a bunch of cool lines for him, but then I was messing around with the search and replace on my computer, and somehow all his lines changed to, she's our queen.
Really? All of his lines?
Yeah, pretty much. I did go back and change a couple of them to, I don't want it, but other than that, yeah, pretty much.
Well, okay then.
So anyway, then Jon goes to see Dany in front of the Iron Throne, and he, you know, stabs and kills her.
Oh my god, just like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's no time to draw this out at all.
But there could be.
But there's not. So then Drogon gets all pissed and burns the Iron Throne, then flies away with Dany's corpse.
Wait, did he understand that the power of the throne corrupted her, or did he just get mad at the one pointy thing in the room?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So anyway, then a couple of weeks later, Jon's in jail.
So he just walked out of the room and confessed to the murder?
It certainly seems that way. So Grey Worm really wants him and Tyrion to see justice for betraying Dany.
Okay.
So Tyrion and Grey Worm go in front of the Council of Surviving Characters, and Tyrion decides that Bran should be king.
Wait, the guy that's on trial decides that?
Well, I mean, the council votes, but Tyrion really does run the show, yeah.
And why does he think Bran should be king?
Because who has a better story than Bran?
I mean, arguably any other character. And shouldn't Jon become king since he's the rightful heir?
No, he's gonna be sentenced to go hang out with his friends up north.
So that whole Aegon Targaryen thing was basically for nothing?
Pretty much. Same for that Arya faceless man thing too, actually.
Oh, subverting expectations is tight.
Well, I wouldn't say that it was about subverting expectations. It's more that I, how do I say this, forgot about it.
Oh, right.
And so Sansa becomes the queen of Winterfell and Arya takes off to explore.
To explore what?
Well, she wants to find out what's west of Westeros.
Can't Bran just tell her that?
Apparently not. Plus, he's gonna take off to go find Drogon.
Oh, why?
Because.
Okay.
And also now Bronn is the master of coin.
Isn't he the worst possible person for that job?
Well, he threatened Tyrion, but also he really likes coins.
I guess that's qualifying.
And so, yeah, that's about it.
Well, it sounds like a compilation of moments that can benefit from being spread over 20 episodes instead of 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, but keep in mind that I don't wanna.
Right, sure seems that way.
Besides, fans are automatically gonna love this. I mean, it's Game of Thrones.
So, okay, this ended up looking more like a pool ladder, but it's supposed to be a white, like a walker, like for old people, you know, elderly.
So Game of Thrones Season 8 is the most popular pitch meeting I've ever done, and it's probably how a lot of you discovered pitch meeting in the first place. I mentioned before I was lucky that the first couple of pitch meetings did pretty well, but this one was kind of a turning point. This video was like in the top spot of the day on Reddit, which is usually reserved for bad stuff.
Oh, crap.
As a fan, that final season was pretty frustrating, and I think this video, which is essentially a brief list of some of the things that were wrong with it, kind of connected with people for that reason. And to be honest, for me, I think this pitch meeting came out at just the right time, because pitch meeting was doing well, but not as well as it's doing today, and I think it needed this boost. I was kind of like, all right, how should I wrap this pitch meeting thing up? It's been about 2 years this thing's run its course. Little did I know that I would continue this for years and years and never see the sun again. I also almost didn't even do this pitch meeting because I had already done a pitch meeting for Game of Thrones as a series. But then everybody was talking about this last season so much, it was kind of like, all right, I gotta? As people have already mentioned online, it's kind of fascinating what this final season of Game of Thrones did because it was the most popular talked about show in the world and nobody even talks about it anymore. Except me right now, but I'm not a person. As you know, I'm a hologram. Question time. Hey Ryan, me and my mom love watching your pitch meetings together and I was wondering, how did the Barbenheimer pitch meeting come to be? Was it easier or more difficult to squeeze 2 movies into one video? I mean, for that video, the Barbenheimer meme just kind of really worked out in my favor because I didn't have a ton to say about either movie. I thought Barbie was good other than the little nitpicks that I pointed out, and I didn't have a ton of interest in trying to summarize the Wikipedia article of a movie, Oppenheimer, into 5 minutes. How do you condense that? Was it easier than a normal pitch meeting? I don't think it was necessarily easier, but because it was so kind of different with these two characters, once I had a vision of what I wanted to do, I was pretty focused on it. So I guess the hardest part of this one was cracking exactly what I wanted to do with it, and then the rest was a little bit easier. And then obviously the weirdness of just standing in front of my green screen smiling while the other character's talking for an extended period of time, that
That was a weird one. That felt strange.
Question, if you could do another cameo pitch meeting like you did with Simu Liu, which actor or actress would you like for it and for which movie?
I'm just gonna say it. I've been trying to get Ryan Reynolds for a couple of years. It hasn't worked out yet. I'm confident that it will eventually for the right thing. Hopefully, maybe, you know, Deadpool 3 could be a good one if he's up for it. I know he's done Honest Trailers. He's a Canadian Ryan. He does videos where he talks to himself. It would work. It would work.
Question, throughout many of the pitch meetings, producer guy gives bad suggestions and changes the story, and in others, screenwriter guy comes up with really outlandish things that the other attempts to shoot down. How do you decide who comes up with the wacky or crazy things in the movies, whether it's the screenwriter being given too much free rein or the producers and studio interference?
I wouldn't say that there's a clear decision process necessarily. I just kind of go with what feels good. All I know is that if I were to have screenwriter guy making all the bad decisions or producer guy making all the bad decisions, then there would be an extra kind of commentary within these videos that I'm not really trying to make, which would be that I'm blaming the writers or that I'm blaming the studios.
By not assigning the blame specifically to anyone, I'm, you know, hopefully it comes across that I'm just kind of poking fun at the movie for fun and not attacking any particular person.
Sometimes I'll attack Disney because they're giant and that's very much punching up. I can't even reach them when I punch up at them.
Hey Ryan, I just really wanted to say that I love your pitch meetings. They're absolutely awesome. My question is, how do you choose which questions you're gonna answer?
What I do is I print every single question you guys write in the comments section, and then I cut them out, like, you know, kind of like a ransom note kind of thing. And then I'll shove all those cutout questions into a burlap sack and head over to whichever abandoned building is closest to me and then set the building ablaze. Days later, once the firefighters are gone, I dig through the rubble and try to see if there are any scraps of questions left. And usually there are about two or three, so those are the ones that I go with.
So hey, thanks for watching, and if you want to be a part of the arson, leave me a question down below.
Bye!